Sacrifice is a must. You are sinful. God is perfectly holy. You cannot approach God. It doesn't matter what rules you make or who you heard preach or what book you've read. It doesn't matter. The law is the law. So what sacrifice are you bringing? Some of us, if we're truly honest, our sacrifice is, I grew up in a good home. Our sacrifice is, I went to a Bible-believing church. Our sacrifice is, I help the poor, the hungry, the needy. Our sacrifice is, I serve in church. Hey, listen, all those are defective and broken sacrifices. The only thing that is acceptable to God is Jesus Christ. What kind of a sacrifice are you bringing?
You just heard a portion of the upcoming sermon titled Invitation by Dr. Abadan Shah here at Clearview Church. At Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in everything that we do, from the way that we worship to the way that we serve others. We'd love to see you at one of our services here at 3485 Oxford Road. For more information or for ways to get plugged in, check out our website at clearviewbc.org. Now, join us for the rest of this week's message.
We're talking about invitation this morning. In my 20-plus years of ministry, I've done a lot of weddings. And what I have observed is that one of the toughest things for any couple getting married to do is to decide on who to send the invitations, and I hate to say it, but who not to. Anybody else can identify with that? If we send them an invitation, we need to send them an invitation. If we don't send them an invitation, but send them an invitation, then these folks here will be upset. I mean, it's just a tough decision. I've had to talk some couples out of eloping. They said, we're just done with this. Can we just elope? I said, no, you need to just go ahead and invite the best you can and move on. So also the kingdom of God is like a wedding to which everyone is invited. Every person ever come into this world since Adam and Eve receive an invitation to come to the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, not everyone accepts the invitation. But if you do accept the invitation, don't forget that it is a gracious gift. You did not earn the invitation of God. It's been given to you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So when you receive the invitation and you go to the banquet, dress appropriately. Your confession may get you into the banquet, but it's your clothing that will keep you in. And you will see this morning what that truly means. What is your clothing as a Christian? Confession may get you in the door, but clothing will keep you there. The question is, are you truly dressed in the righteousness of Christ? If not, today's the message is for you. We come to the final message in our series on the parables of Christ. The parable of the wedding banquet. The message is called Invitation. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1, or you can turn to the screen. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest, listen to this, seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. You know what the invitation is to this banquet? It's very simple. Jesus came, died on the cross for your sins, according to scriptures, was buried, rose again, and believing in him, you can have eternal life. Invitation is like this. Jesus, I repent of my sins. I need you to be my Savior, and from this day, I will follow you. Whatever you say goes. Invitation accepted. If you haven't done that, would you pray with me right now? Right where you are. Simple prayer that says, Jesus, this is the first time I really understood that I have to receive the invitation. And so I do. I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and take over. I will follow you the rest of my life as you help me. Thank you for saving me. And Father, we pray today, those who have truly prayed to receive the invitation to that wedding banquet, we pray, God, that you would confirm to them that now they belong to you. Now they have the privilege to enjoy the banquet that never ends. And God, we pray for the rest who still have not received the invitation. Open their eyes that they may receive it and be saved today. We thank you, God, again for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say together, amen. Please be seated. The parable of the wedding banquet. This is one of the most difficult parables that Jesus gave in his ministry. Now, you know by now, to understand a parable, you need to look at it in its context. You've heard me repeat that over and over again. Look at the context. Look at the verses leading to the parable. And then look at the verses following the parable, and you will understand the correct meaning of the parable. So this morning, to understand this parable of the wedding banquet, we have to back up to verse 14 of Matthew chapter 21. Listen to what it says. Matthew 21, verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him, to Jesus, in the temple, and he healed them. Very important for us to understand that statement. The blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. What was the reaction of the religious leaders, the chief priests and the scribes? Listen to their reaction in verse 15. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, they were not weeping, they were rejoicing, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. What is their reaction? They were indignant. They were angry. They were insulted. How dare you do such things? Don't you know what the Bible says? Don't you know what Moses has said in the Old Testament? Now, what exactly is going on here? For the understanding of this parable, I want to focus on the blind and the lame part of that verse. Why were the chief priests and the scribes so indignant that the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple and he healed them? Could it be that they misunderstood what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 21? You have your Bibles? Go ahead and turn there. Leviticus chapter 21, starting in verse 16. I think they misunderstood this passage. Listen to what it says. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron. Remember, Aaron was Moses' brother, but he was also the high priest. And it was his descendants who were to sacrifice in the temple. They were to be the priests to the people of God. Listen to what Moses said to Aaron as God told him. Verse 17, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. This is not for every person. This is only for Moses' descendants who will be the priests for generations to come. They cannot have any defect in their physical body. Listen to verse 18. For any man who has a defect shall not approach a man blind or lame. And the list goes on. Verse 21. No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect is as if you didn't get it the first time, here comes the second time, shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy, only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect. Now, my mind says, what in the world? To truly understand, we need to go further in Leviticus to chapter 22. Listen to verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, same thing. Verse 18, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel, so this is not about the priests, this is not about Aaron's sons and grandsons, this is about every person who is an Israelite. Whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, listen to verse 19, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. Verse 20, whatever has a defect you shall not offer. So, if you are a priest, a descendant of Aaron, you cannot have any defect if you're going to serve. But not only that, the offering that the general people will bring cannot be defective. Cannot be blind, cannot be lame, the limbs cannot be broken, none of that. Now please listen very carefully. Why is there so much emphasis on perfection? Why did God make so much big deal that the person who is offering the sacrifice has to be perfect and the sacrifice itself has to be perfect? Why is that? Please listen carefully. Sin is imperfection and it cannot be countered by imperfection. You see, the point I'm making here is this. All those sacrifices were simply a picture of the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament laws are simply pointing towards Jesus Christ. The reason the priest had to be perfect, listen, is because our high priest, Jesus, is perfect. So God was not being prejudiced towards those who are blind and lame and have defects. He was simply saying, hey, listen, don't forget, all that you're doing right now is going to come to an end. Because the high priest, the sacrifice is coming, and he is perfect, and he will be the perfect sacrifice. Let me read a verse to you in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen to this. It's on the screen. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Corruptible means what? Defective stuff. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, say it with me, without blemish and without spot. Perfect. Don't ever think that you can just waltz in into the presence of God. You have to bring a sacrifice. You say, I don't believe in that. You can not believe in the law of gravity, but if I step over, I am coming down. Sacrifice is a must. You are sinful. God is perfectly holy. You cannot approach God. It doesn't matter what rules you make or who you heard preach or what book you've read. It doesn't matter. The law is the law. So what sacrifice are you bringing? Some of us, if we're truly honest, our sacrifice is, I grew up in a good home. Our sacrifice is, I went to a Bible-believing church. Our sacrifices, I help the poor, the hungry, the needy. Our sacrifices, I serve in church. Hey, listen, all those are defective and broken sacrifices. The only thing that is acceptable to God is Jesus Christ. What kind of a sacrifice are you bringing? Now keep that in mind. Our time is short. Let's go to the parable again, the parable of the wedding banquet. The king arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to those invited to come to the wedding. So the wedding invitation had already gone out, and the king said, go tell them dinner is served. And what is their response? They were unwilling to come. So he sent out other servants to plead with the guests, saying, please, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed. Things are ready. Come to the wedding. But listen to what it says in verse 5. But they made, what does it say? They made light of it. You know what the word is there? The Greek word is ameleo. Ameleo sort of means they acted flippantly. Sometimes when people come to Clearview, they have a very exciting spirit. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Wow, we love it. Everything is awesome. This is great. It is different than what I grew up in, but I love this place. It's awesome. Sometimes when people come to Clearview, they almost have a flippant attitude. Please listen very carefully. Is that you? Is God's gracious invitation coming to you? God is speaking to you, but you're making light of it. You have no care for it. Do you think you are too good for it? I know many of y'all are going like, what in the world, Pastor Shaw? You don't meet everybody, do you? I do. And you can pick it up just like that, and you go, oh, you're making light of it. Okay. And here's what I tell you. If this is not the place for you, go somewhere else. Honestly, God bless you. We'll love you, talk to you in the community. Go somewhere where you'll be happy. But don't sit somewhere and think that this is not as good as your home church. And here's a sad reality. When you have that spirit, it is contagious, and you're giving it to your children and your grandchildren, and they're walking around going, this is substandard. This is never the real deal. They'll go through their whole life believing that it's not the real deal. But let's get more practical. God is speaking to you right now, but it's not good enough. It's not like back there. But some went beyond that. Listen to what they did in verse 6. They seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and what did they do? They killed them. Wow. Now keep in mind that this parable is coming to us in the language of Israel's history. That's what many of them did to their prophets that God sent to them. But listen, the application is to all of us. This is not just to Israel or to the Jewish people. It is to all of us. God's gospel comes to us. He sends his messengers to us, but many have rejected the messengers and destroyed them. Now, there are two levels of destroying your messengers. One level is outrightly killing them. Hey, look, I grew up in India, where missionaries have been killed. But listen to verse 7. When the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city, which means this, there is judgment. Now, I talked to you about judgment against countries and people groups, but listen, sitting here this morning and under the sound of my voice, people have also rejected the messengers of God. So what happens? Time is short. The king decides to revise his list, and he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. What do we do? Therefore, go into the highways. The Greek word for highways is the word diexodus. That's where we get our the title of the book, Exodus. Exodus means the people of Israel left Egypt and went out. Diexodus in this parable means leaving the city limits and going outside. The streets end, but they keep on going outside. That's why they translated that word as highways. The king says, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Listen to this again. Both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Wow. You know, I think about my own history, my spiritual history. My dad did not grow up in a Christian home. My dad grew up in a very wealthy home, very influential home, very powerful home, but a Muslim home. And the gospel came to him. Isn't that amazing? I'm standing here because a blind and a lame man received the gospel and came into the city. I'm reaping the benefit of his willingness to take the invitation of God, even though he was an outsider. And that there are people sitting here today, or not here today, your family, your friends, who grew up in church, who grew up in the Christian world. Nobody's ever persecuted you. Nobody ever told you Jesus is a fraud. You grew up in the Christian world, and you have rejected the invitation of God. Hey, guess what, folks? We're coming in. We're the outsiders. You're going out. We're coming in. Isn't that ironic? And just when you think that the parable is done, there's a twist in the story. Listen to verse 11. The banquet is going. People are enjoying themselves. I mean, look at the crowd of people, the blind, the lame. They've never even been inside the city. Forget the banquet hall. They've never even been inside the city limits. And they're watching. They're enjoying. They're eating their food. They're enjoying the conversation. They're meeting new people. And the king is walking around in the banquet hall to see the guests, and he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Now keep in mind, these are the blind and the lame who were outside the city limits. They were the worst of the worst. But at least you're coming in, beg, borrow, or steal, put on something that's a little better than what you had. Put on your Sunday best. Anybody remember that, Sunday best? But here you go. The king is walking around. There's a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. "You came in because of God's gracious invitation. You were not on the list. But you came in because the king sent his servants outside the city limits, into the highways, way outside in the country, brought you in. At least have the sense enough to dress up. Maybe your jacket is torn, but put on that torn jacket." This one man, please listen carefully, this one man didn't care. "Yeah, I know they're inviting me over there, but you know what? I'm not changing me. This is who I am. And if they don't like me, tough. This is always I've been. And you know what? Those people down there, they're not as bad. Well, does that mean he's doing me a favor?" Here's the application. Don't miss this. There are people sitting here today. You left the old lifestyle, but the old lifestyle hasn't left you. When you talk about your past, you don't talk about it with regret and shame. You talk about it as if, man, those were some days. We used to party. It's not parties. Party. We used to have such. Whoo, I remember bad. You remember those days? And sometimes I want to ask those people, do you miss those days? Because it sure sounds like you do. Now, you know, I tell you what. I have a temper now. I'm going to tell you, I got a temper. That's the old you. You are in the banquet hall of the King of Kings, and you're still bragging about your temper as if it's something commendable? Shame on you. You're still wearing those filthy rags in the banquet hall of the kings? You know, one thing I loved about my dad is, even though he has such an amazing testimony, he never bragged about it. He never went around saying, you know, "Hey, did I ever tell you I wasn't Muslim? Did I ever tell you about my time back home?" But he never. You have to beg him to say, "Hey, Dad, share your testimony." I've never done that. People would ask him, "Hey, would you please share your testimony?" Folks, if that's still, you still have the taste for it, maybe that's where you belong. And that's exactly what happens. Listen to verse 13. "Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" What is that? That's hell. Now, folks, I don't know what it does to your theology, because I don't know what it does to my theology, because I believe once saved, always saved. I believe in, eternal life. I believe in the perseverance of the saints, all of that, eternal security. But somehow, Jesus is saying here, you may get into the banquet hall, but if your attire is not appropriate, you may be escorted out and cast into hell. Now, as a Christian, what is my attire? Well, listen to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This is my new garment. So when I leave the old and go into the new, into the banquet hall, there needs to be a change in my attire. Now, please don't misunderstand. Please don't misunderstand. The change in attire does not mean that now that you're saved, you got to walk around with a three-piece suit. Leaving the old, coming the new, oh, the tattoos are this, and that's evil, and, you know, if that's you, please don't come to me. You're a legalist. Stay where you are. What I am talking about, leaving the old, going in the new, is putting on the garment of salvation. Where people see you, they should see Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Can you say it with me? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hey, I'm about to get angry, but I have put on Christ. I don't want to misrepresent him. When you do those things, you're still living in the highways and proud of it. There's a change that comes into our lives. Go back again to the parable, and we'll close with this. Listen to verse 14, Matthew 22. For many are called, but few are chosen. I don't know what it does to, if you're a Calvinist, to your belief in unconditional election, because here it is a conditional election. Please listen very carefully. Your confession will be powerless on the other side. God will also look at your clothing, and your clothing better be Christ. See, that's why you cannot go around, reveling in your past. That's why you can't go around acting like the old. And again, please don't bring the legalism. The legalism is somebody's list. King James, you know, that's a list. Keep that away. Not into that. But true righteousness is how you live by the Holy Spirit. There is a kindness about you. There is mercy about you. There is holiness about you. Do people see Christ in you?
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Who are you in this parable? How have you responded to the invitation that God has sent? For more information or for this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com. And for more information on Clearview, check out clearviewbc.org. We'd love to see you here at our Christmas Eve service at 8 o'clock. It'll be an awesome service filled with worship and communion so that we can set our hearts on Christ this Christmas season. We hope to see you there.